As has already been mentioned, the Lord has provided us with a new year, and we're grateful to Him for that. And He's providentially cared for us and blessed us over the past year and given us an open door in this new year. And I'm encouraged that He's done that, and I'm encouraged that we can begin the new year together worshiping Him. What a great way to begin day one. Coming together, worshiping God with other Christians, and that's encouraging. I can't think of anything else better to do on the first day of the new year than to come worship God, and that's encouraging. This morning, we want to take this time that we commonly think of with regard to improving and doing better, and our prayer has mentioned that, and other comments have mentioned that. I want you to think about our membership, and being a member of the Lord's body, being a member of the Warfield Boulevard congregation, and how that each and every one of us can make the most of that. Don't you want to make the most of any relationship that you're in? I think we do. And I want us to consider this morning making the most of this relationship that we're in with regard to our membership. When we're baptized into Christ, the Lord adds us to His body, the universal church, all Christians everywhere. And then we are to join ourselves and be members of a local body. And in the scripture reading of Ephesians chapter 4, that which every joint supplies, every member working together. This morning I want us to consider the importance of making the most of that, making the most of any relationship that we're in. And there are relationships that we have that we want to work at. You know, what about your marriage? Do you want to make the most of that? Do you want to make the most of your parent-child relationship? You want to make the most when you go to work? We want to get something out of those relationships. We need to make the most of that. And important relationships require more than just your physical presence. Do you want a marriage where the only thing to the marriage is you're physically present with your spouse? You ride together in the car. You're together in the same house. You might walk along a sidewalk together, but there's nothing more than that. You're just sort of physically close. You want anything more than that? Well, of course we do. We want the love and the commitment and communication and helping each other. We want much more than just physically present. What about your family? What about the parent-child relationship? We don't just simply want to be under the same roof. Kids are screaming, "Mom, Dad, I need you to guide me. I need your help. I need other kinds of things." And parents are saying, I need you as a child to honor me and respect, and let's work together. It's more than just being physically together in a house. We want more than just physical presence. And when you go to work, you know, it's not just a matter of physically showing up. We want there to be some fulfillment there. We want to believe that we're making a difference in the community. We want to make we want to believe that we're giving back, that we're fulfilling in some kind of way. Well, the same is true with regard to our relationship in the church. Membership here at Warfield Boulevard is not just physically being together in a building. It's not just physically sitting together. There's got to be much more than that. If it's just physically being in the same building, then it's going to be empty and hollow and shallow, just like a marriage or a family or at work. And so this morning, I want us to consider these important relationships. It's more than just physical presence. We have to be doing some other things. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to turn to the book of Acts. And we're going to pick out one, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick out one local church in the New Testament. There's several that we could look at, but we're going to use the example of the local church at Jerusalem to learn five important things that we need to be having in our life if we're going to make the most of our membership. If our membership is just simply coming in and physically being near some other people, then we're just not going to get out of that what we need to, and then in time we'll just become unfaithful. But we're going to learn five important things this morning. And really, you could do this with marriage or with family or with work. We're going to focus on the local church this morning. But you could mention these same five things with regard to those other relationships. And we need to learn, number one, to commit. Number two, to participate. Number three, to support. Number four, to defend. And number five, to promote. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, if we have a relationship that does not have these things in our life, then we're going to have some misunderstandings about what it means to be a member. And there's going to be some local church problems. For example, I might think, well, being a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church is just showing up, and being a member is making sure I'm in that building, and it's like a monastery. Everything's just done at the building. My membership begins and ends at that back door. And so as long as I'm in this building, what I'm doing in this building, that's the pretty much the extent of my membership. We come to the monastery. Once we leave, we're no longer a member. Some might have that view. Some might limit their work and their membership to sort of a bare minimum. I need to find out what is the bare minimum for my life and what's the bare minimum of services I need to attend, or is the Lord's Supper kind of the bare minimum thing? I've got to make sure I get that. And other than that, I just don't do anything else and I pretty much keep to myself. Some might have a similar attitude where I just want to be independent. I don't really want anybody talking to me. I don't really want to talk to anybody else. I come, I'm in my place, I go home, and I'm very independent with regard to that. Don't call upon me to do, you know, much more than that. And then there might be just outright absentee issues where I'm not here when I could be. My view of membership is a very bare minimum type of thing, and then it shows up later. And we know that even in the first century, Hebrews 10:25, some were making a custom or a habit of forsaking the assembly. I believe the problem was they just really didn't understand what it meant to be a member. And so you're going to have these kinds of problems. Some, maybe, we don't know who the members are. We don't know their names. We don't know where they live. We don't know their needs. We don't know what's going on in their life. I come, I sit in my seat, I go home. And there'll be some other people that'll check on them. You know, one of the deacons will check on them, you know, I'm sure. They'll be taken care of, but that's just really not my thing. Well, we need to be more involved in that. You might have a situation where we don't do anything for the members. And we are busy, and we have busy lives, and we can't get around to everybody every week, but we can be doing something. But I just don't want to do anything. I've got my family, my hobbies, my work. And I'm sure somebody else will take care of them. And so you've got these kinds of problems that show up in local congregations from time to time. And I believe that it all stems with really not understanding what it means to be a member and making full use of our membership. And then it might be like Corinth. We just began a great study on the book of 1 Corinthians. Roger took us through that beginning chapter. And they had a problem with division. There was faction and strife, and people are at odds in the local church. Again, the problem is not fully understanding what it means to be a member. And so these types of things come up. There may be personality clashes and fights and feuds, and brother so-and-so is fighting with sister so-and-so and so forth. And, well, we're going to go to the church across town and that type of thing. And instead of working those things out and being unified and working toward Ephesians 4:1, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit, we just divide and break up and so forth. And then it might be where there is an unfortunate situation like 1 Corinthians 5. Paul talked about to withdraw their fellowship from this immoral brother. There may come a time where church discipline has to be exercise, but we were not close with that brother or sister anyway. So when the elders stand up and read the letter that we don't need to have fellowship with brother or sister so-and-so, we never had fellowship with them anyway, so withdrawing it is not really going to do anything. We were never close to them anyway. Have you ever seen that happen in a local congregation where you go to maybe try to encourage someone to come back and they don't come back and somebody says, well, we're going to read a letter of withdrawal? Well, what is there to withdraw? We weren't close to start with. And so no close ties between members to start with. And so withdrawing fellowship is not really that effective. We weren't that close to start with. So you'll see that sometimes. And then last of all, there may be no emotional or physical ties with the brethren. And we find ourselves more closely aligning with our friends at school or college or work or somewhere else, and we're hanging out more with worldly people than we are are godly people and we get slowly drawn away from Christ. And we're spending more time with people in the world than we are with people in the Lord's body. And so we find ourselves becoming weaker and weaker. You'll see that happen. So this morning I want us to consider making the most of our membership so that we can be strong and faithful in the Lord. A body that is supposed to make us strong and faithful. How do we do that? Well, I want us to turn to the model church of the local church of Jerusalem. And I want us to consider some things with regard to that congregation for our admonition this morning. And I want us to begin with Acts chapter 2. And our first point is that if we want to make the most of our membership, we have to commit to the local body. We have to make a commitment to be a strong member. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. As we know the story there, the beginning of the church there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 are baptized into Christ. What we're going to find after their baptism in verse 41 is we're going to find that they are committed to that local church. And without commitment and a close connection, nothing significant or meaningful will happen. That is true in marriage. That is true in our family. That's true at work. And it's true in the local body. If we don't have a commitment to work and worship with a group of Christians, nothing significant will happen. It'll just be a place where I physically come a few times a week and not much more than that. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After their baptism, and they, these new members of the local church in Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly. There's your commitment. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. We're going to come back to verse 44 and 45 in just a minute, so come down with me to verse 46. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. That's where the worship was done. And in the breaking of bread at home, that's where the social activities were done. That's why in the Lord's church today, we don't have, a social type of food activity here when we're together. Those things were done at home. What was done together in the temple was worshiping God. And we know that we're talking about a social type of thing because breaking bread at home, they took their food. Food is for just your common, ordinary eating. It's not the Lord's Supper. That was done at home. But together, steadfastly with one accord in the temple, that's where they're praising God, verse 47. But notice, continuing steadfastly. And so members were committed. There were no members at large where we float around. We just don't ever commit to one particular group. We might permanently visit. And I appreciate our visitors. And let me say in haste that we've got great visitors. I think there's been visitors every week that I've begun here. And that's awesome. We appreciate our visitors. But in time, we need to commit to a local work and say, I want to be a functioning member of this body. Turn with me to chapter 4. Another example of their commitment was when Peter and John are released from jail. The members of the church want to gather together and pray together. Chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they came to their own company. I want you to underscore in your Bible that phrase, they came to their own company. They came to their own people. What that means is that when Peter and John were released from prison, they could come to their own group of people that they can identify with. Do you have a company? Do you have your own company? Do I have my own company? Do I have my own body of people that I can come to in Clarksville for help? If the answer is no, then I need to commit to a body of believers that is following truth. But they had a group that they could come to. And verse 24, they offer up their voice to God and they pray for Peter and John and the apostles and that they can continue preaching God's word. Here's another example. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. When Saul of Tarsus is converted and he becomes a Christian, what does he do? He doesn't float around. He doesn't permanently travel. And nobody traveled more than Paul. But have you ever thought about this? I don't think anybody traveled more than the apostle Paul. But when he was ever had an opportunity to join himself with Christians, he did that. And on the first, nobody traveled more than Paul. But when a first day of the week came, Acts 27, he sought out Christians. Think about that with regard to our travel today. But Paul always wanted to be with Christians. And right after his conversion, look at Acts 9. Look at what he does with the local church at Jerusalem. And when he was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he tried, or he attempted to join himself to the disciples. Why? That's what God wants. We are to join ourselves to a group of Christians. We are to make a commitment. That's what we do in our marriage. That's what we do in our family. Hopefully that's what we do with our work. We need to make a commitment, not a free-floating member-at-large type of situation. There's a time to check out a group. There's a time to examine their work and their worship and are they following truth. But at some point, we need to join ourselves to the disciples. Now look at this. The brethren there at Jerusalem, they were all afraid of him because we know he used to persecute Christians. So they're afraid, not believing that he was a disciple. They hadn't heard about his conversion yet. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And he, Paul, was with them going in and going out at Jerusalem. Underscore that in your Bible. That's the phrase that Luke uses to say Paul joined himself and he was an active member, if you will. He's going in and going out. He's working with them. So number one, if we're going to make the most of our membership for ourselves and for our children, we've got to make a serious commitment and connection to join ourselves to the disciples. So on that note, I would just say this. If you have, for example, if you've been visiting with us for some time, thank you. We appreciate that. Let me encourage you to go to the elders. And it's a great time. Beginning of the year, go to the elders, talk with Clarence, talk with Bob, and say, we want to talk with you about joining the disciples here. Are you a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? We would encourage you to join yourself to the disciples and fully commit to that. We appreciate our visitors. And if there's more that you would like to learn about us, please ask and let's sit down and study and let's talk if we need to. But let us join ourselves and make a commitment. That's how we make anything really meaningful in life. Think about a marriage where the person says, you don't have to say I do. Just be around a lot. No, we're going to want that little extra thing. We're going to want that I do. We're going to want that next step of commitment. And that's what the Lord wants for us as a Christian. The second thing that he wants is not only do we commit to it, but we participate in it. The more we are involved in anything, the more satisfying and rewarding that experience will be. We will get things out of an experience if we put things into that experience. And so we need to participate. And I asked Abraham to read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. The American Standard says, that which every joint supplies. What are we supplying to the group? What are we giving? What are we participating in? Paulo has stood up and said there are things that we can fill out for the year. Other announcements have been made, the sheets on the backboard, the building cleaning and the ride list and those types of things. And some of the deacons have already been mentioning things that we need to be doing. And Paulo talked about the young men maybe adding to their list and giving a Sunday night talk, that type of thing, or a Wednesday night talk. There's plenty for us to participate in, but when we don't participate, we're really not going to have a satisfying experience. And so I would encourage us along those lines. Turn with me now and let's look at the church at Jerusalem. It was about members participating. It's not just about physically being together in a building. It's about, number one, committing, and number two, participating in. And we all have different talents, different ages, different health conditions, even different roles in the church. But find what that is and do something. And then add to that. 2017 is a great year to add to what we were doing in 2016 so that we don't get lethargic and just sort of stay at the same level, but growing. Look at Acts chapter 6. There was an attitude of involvement. Here's a problem that needs to be taken care of. Sign me up. Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12, 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples under them and said, "It is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Look ye out, therefore, brethren, from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." There's a work in the local church. It doesn't just take care of itself. The building doesn't just clean itself. The yard doesn't just get cut by itself. There's a business. There's a work. There are things that must be done. And so let us sign up and participate, you see. And so there is a business or a work. So verse 4, "But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word." And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And we know these other men. And we find that they took care of this work. I want to participate. We know from chapter 12 and verse 5 that when Peter was in prison, the text says that the church gathered together. Peter, therefore, was in prison, and prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. You get the picture of, I want to be there and pray for him. Participation. Sign up. Volunteer. Say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Let us do as much as we can for this body. That's the only way we're going to get a meaningful relationship out of it. And you'll hear sometimes a church member will say, "Well, I just didn't get anything out of the service. I'm not getting anything out of my membership. I'm really dragging in that area. I don't know if I want to go again." Often it's because they're not participating. So when we put things in, we get things out. And we know that in other relationships, and we need to see that also in our relationship in the local church. So let's be as active as we can. So what can we sign up for? Put me down. After services, go to one of the deacons, go to one of the elders and say, "Hey, can you put me down for something? I want to do more than I was doing last year. I want a meaningful relationship here at Warfield Boulevard. And that's going to be when I participate." And again, we all have different things that we can do. Let us be mindful of that. Whatever it is we can do, let our leadership know so they can put us down. And you'll find, just like in marriage and in the family, other relationships, when you're participating, when you're actively there with your sleeves rolled up, actively working in that relationship, it is rewarding and meaningful. If not, then there's just not a whole lot there. And in time, it just falls apart. Have you ever seen that? Do you have friends who maybe whose marriages are falling apart or families are falling apart? When you investigate that, when you look at that, what do you find? One or both parties not committed, don't have any skin in the game, we say, just really not doing a whole lot, and so it just falls apart. And the same would be true for our work in the local church. So, it has been announced already, different sign-up sheets that we have, different things that we can do. Go to, again, one of our elders or deacons and talk with them about that. And you'll find your membership becoming more meaningful. Now turn back with me to Acts chapter 3. Let's look at a third thing that is necessary. If we want to make the most of our membership this year, we need to support it. We need to be supportive. We need to say, "I'm here not just to get." There's a time to get. There's a time to get help from members. There's a time to get help and encouragement from members. I want to go because of what I can get. There's a time for that. And we all get good things from our brethren. And there's times in our lives when we all need to get some help. But it's not just about getting. It's also about giving. And so we need to understand that. And the church members there in Jerusalem were givers. And they supported the work financially. Now, this point could actually be made on a number of different ways. We could support the church with our talents. We could support the local church with our time and things like that. But I want to focus in on what these verses are talking about, and that is, just frankly, money, contribution. Giving so that needy people can be taken care of, we need to support it in that way. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, "And all that believed were together," notice the unity, the commitment, "and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all according as any man had need." Come with me to chapter 4 The work did not fall on just a few. One or a few cannot do it all here at Memorial Boulevard. I knew that was going to happen. I made it a month without not Memorial Boulevard, Warfield Boulevard. I was wondering when that was going to come. We here at Warfield Boulevard cannot have the work land on the shoulders of just one or a few. All of us need to be supporting that. So we find the same thing in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Let's read. And the multitude of them that believed, of course we're talking about members of the church, were of one heart and soul, the unity, the commitment. And not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Verse 34. For neither was there among them any that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto each according as anyone had need. I'm here to support. And there's a problem with some folks that need some things. I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring my contribution. There is a time, brethren, to be getting. I need to get this. I need to get that. I need this. But we also have to be giving. And so we find the well-known story, look at verse 36, of this man named Barnabas, son of exhortation or son of encouragement. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, verse 36, which is being interpreted the son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We have two men outside this congregation that are supported in preaching the gospel. There's other needs. The lights don't just come on by themselves. You got to pay the electric bill. You know, there's a work. There's a need. There is an active, ongoing work of this congregation in keeping the saved saved and saving the lost. And we need to be supportive in that. So I just ask the question, how's your giving? How's my giving? We need to be givers. And let's reference again the passage that Bob mentioned around the table this morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The contribution, the collection, is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not something where we don't have to do it. When we make that announcement that the contribution is for the members, it's not for the visitors, don't misunderstand that to mean it's not for the members. It's for the members. We say it's not for the visitors because it is a local work. And we also say that because in the New Testament, non-Christians or non-members were never asked to give. But we must be giving, and it's not an option. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order, it's an order. Some versions say, as I gave charge to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. It's a command. And so we need to be fulfilling that. Now look at verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you, not just some. Well, I know brother so-and-so will give. I know sister so-and-so will give. No, let each one of you. You see, it's for each and every one of us. Now look at those first seven words on verse 2. Upon the first day of the week. Where do those seven words show up again in the New Testament? We know in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, they gather together to break bread or take the Lord's Supper. Somebody says, I need to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday because it says upon the first day of the week. The same seven words are used for the contribution. I need to be giving each Sunday too. Yes. And so I need to be supportive of the local work. One other thing and then we'll go on. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 11 and let's learn something about the church at Jerusalem. Sometimes we fall on hard times. All of us do. We might have troubles at work, troubles paying bills, and we're trying to make ends meet, and we're working, and we're trying to take care of things at home, and we fall on hard times. But listen, brethren, even in hard times, the church at Jerusalem was active, they were supportive, they were givers, and there's going to be hard times in our life. I don't want to minimize that or downplay that, but that's not an excuse not to give. And I want to mention one of these hard times. Look at Acts chapter 11. There was actually a famine that affected the church at Jerusalem. And if that would ever cause a hard time on somebody, that would be that. And so in Acts chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, Agabus comes and says, a great famine is going to be over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius and the disciples in Antioch. Every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. Look at that in verse 29. Josephus tells us that that happened in the fourth year of Claudius, which was about 45 A.D. The church at Jerusalem had been in existence for about 12 years. It wasn't a very old church. And this famine comes in the reign of Claudius, and it affects Judea and Jerusalem. Josephus says in his Antiquity of the Jews that many, many people died in Jerusalem as a result of this famine. We know from Acts chapter 5 that the church in Jerusalem had about 5,000 members. I'm sure some of them were affected by that famine. They had hard times. But the local church at Jerusalem is known for their support, for their participation, for their work. And so even when we find ourselves in those kinds of things, we need to be giving as the Lord commands. And then, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 15. Do you know that any relationship that we have that is worth having is worth fighting for? Is your marriage worth fighting for? Or do you just raise the white flag up? Well, a little trouble, I give up. No, you fight for it, don't you? Do you fight for your children? Maybe find that there's some worldly influence tugging them, trying to pull them toward the world. Do you fight for that as a parent? Sure you do. Well, what about the local church? We need to fight for it, if you will. We need to keep defending truth, keep it pure, keep it truthful. Now that we're in chapter 15, look at verse 4. We'll go back and look at some of these other passages on the overhead there. But look at Acts chapter 15. There were some in Jerusalem that were saying, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And they had gone and said that up in Antioch. Now they're coming to Jerusalem to discuss it, Paul and others. And when they were come up to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. And then starting with Peter in verse 7, Paul and then James, they talk about how that God accepts the Gentiles without circumcision. Come down with me to Acts 15:22. The local church, listen, the elders in the local church are going to stand for truth. They're going to write a letter and say, no, you do not have to be circumcised in order to be saved. We're going to stand for truth and we're going to defend that. So look at Acts 15, verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men out of their company and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote them thus, the apostles and elders, brethren, the church is included, unto the brethren who are of the Gentiles. Verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain who went out from us have troubled you. Those are the men back in verse 2 and 3 that kept saying you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. This letter is saying they came from the church at Jerusalem and we didn't give them commandment to do that, to whom we gave no commandment. What are they doing? Defending truth. This is not what God wants. They've made this up on their own. And then they go on to write about what Gentiles should and should not do. But they're defending truth. We find later that the elders of the church at Jerusalem in chapter 21 come back and make a similar point. In Acts chapter 11, some of the members of the church at Jerusalem wondered why Paul had gone to be with Cornelius. And they questioned him about that. And when they found out that it was God's will to save the Gentiles, they glorified God. But they're defensive of truth. Defend the local church. When any member here preaches and practices truth, you get in behind them and you defend them. Whether it's the elders, the deacons, the preacher, psalm leader, Bible class teacher, all you get in and you defend God's word with them. Stand with them. And not only with regard to truth, but turn with me to Acts chapter 5. The membership was guarded with regard to purity. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? They lie, right? They lie to the Holy Spirit, which is lying to God. And what does Peter say? He says, you've lied, and both of them are struck dead. And then we find in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, and a great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. We're going to keep this church pure. Now, today we don't have that miraculous killing of individuals, but we can still keep the church pure. Do you want to come into a place and have your children sit by liars? Do you want them to sit by liars? Do you want them to sit by gamblers and adulterers and people like that? No, we want purity, don't we? So that's another area where we work together to keep the church pure. And we're defending what is right and holy and good. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, we need to promote it. We need to promote it. Do you know that I'm told that 90% of people that visit any religious mainline group in America, 90% of people who visit because friends and family invited them. And we need to be doing that. Have you ever eaten at a restaurant and you really liked it and you can't wait to tell somebody, you need to go to such and such restaurant? Man, I love their rolls. Love their rolls. You ever do that? There's something you really like. What do? You go out and promote it to others. You know, I saw a movie last week. I really liked that movie. You should go see such and such. Or a restaurant. Or I read a book last week. Have you read such and such book? You need to go get that book. We promote things we like. When was the last time you and I said to somebody, I really want you to come to Warfield Boulevard? It is a great group of people. You're going to love their Bible classes. We've got good leadership. We've got friendly folks. You need to come. I love being there. You need to come with me. You see, promote it. Just like we would promote that restaurant, that book, that movie, whatever. We need to be telling others. And so we find that. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 8. When there was persecution in the church, and by the way, that was the second thing that really hit the church. Somebody says, well, can I be active and supportive and give my contribution even in hard times? Absolutely. There were two things that hit the church at Jerusalem, persecution and that famine. And in spite of all of that, they were still faithful to God. And look at Acts chapter 8. What did they do in verse 4? They went everywhere preaching the word when they were persecuted. They didn't stop. We're going to go tell others. Now, they were not saying, promote me. They were promoting Christ. When we promote Warfield Boulevard, we're not promoting ourselves. We're promoting Christ. Come hear the word of Christ. Come be with people who follow Christ. We're not promoting ourselves. We're promoting the body of Christ. And they went out and did that. We find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, when some of the members heard that there were Christians now in Samaria, they send some members. We're interested in the work elsewhere. In Acts chapter 11, do you know that some of the members of the church at Jerusalem, they're the ones who went out and started preaching elsewhere. And as a result, the church at Antioch gets started. We're going to promote the word of God. We're going to talk to others about the word of God. We're going to get the seed out of the bag. We're going to get the light out of the lighthouse. We're going to get the salt out of the salt shaker. We've got to get it out and affect others and help others. And when we do that, we will make the most of our membership. Are we telling others about God's word and about a local congregation in Clarksville where you can come and hear and study and read God's word? Well, the lesson is yours. How do we make the most of our membership? Just like in our marriage and in our family and other areas of our life, we don't want just simple physical proximity. That's not what's going to keep us faithful and strong and committed. But these things that we've talked about this morning, that we see in the local church at Jerusalem, commit to joining these good brethren here. Participate, participate, participate. Support it financially. Defend it. Defend truth. Defend purity. We want a pure group of Christians. And then last of all, let's go out and tell others about it. Just like that favorite steak restaurant that you like because you just like the way that tastes or whatever. You go out and promote Warfield Boulevard. because of the great spiritual things that are going on here. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin this year by becoming a Christian, being baptized into Christ. Let us assist you in doing that. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation where we can you can come forward, you can let your needs be made known, speak your intentions. There may be someone, maybe as a member, prior thinking, well, you know, I just have not done those things that we learn about from God's Word, and I need to do better. And if you want to let the good brethren here know that you're making those changes, you can come as well. But let's begin this year making the most of what it means to be a member of the Lord's church. We'll be happy, we'll be fulfilled, but most importantly, we'll be faithful, and we'll be serving God the way He wants. If we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?